Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Chmielewski has been with us before, and I asked him if he could join us again today. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming back. Can you tell us what is going on with this March of the Migrants? Your blog said 1,300 migrants left Honduras this weekend. Reports now are there are 3,000.
Yeah, it's doubled in size, and this is nothing new. We've seen caravans coming up from the Northern Triangle down in Central America before, and the question has always been, how does the current administration, the federal government, respond? So really, this is the second big one that's started to head our way under the Trump administration. The first one came before a lot of the changes were made. It was right around the time it was back this spring, so it was right around the time it actually helped lead to Jeff Sessions' zero tolerance policy and some of the other changes that were made along on how we deal with asylum seekers along the southern border. But the Trump administration, again, it looks like they're going to be tested this fall with this caravan of about 3,000 Central Americans heading this way. The initial response seems to be pretty good. President Trump tweeted out this morning that he's told the president of Honduras that if he doesn't stop the caravan, that we're going to cut off financial aid for that country for the upcoming year. So we'll see what other steps the administration takes to try to cut this thing off before it gets here.
Can you explain for me and for the people listening what the asylum loopholes are that people take advantage of?
Sure. So there are two terms in immigration law that are basically interchangeable, asylum and refugee, and basically which one you are just depends on where you happen to be geographically, whether you're within a country or out of a country. But essentially, anybody who claims asylum is somebody who fears that if they return back to their home country, that they'll be persecuted because of their race, religion, sex, political beliefs, or social groups that they happen to belong to. Well, what happened was back about 8 years ago, the Obama administration changed what we call the credible fear standard. So when somebody gets into the United States and claims asylum, they make what's called a credible fear claim. They state that they fear persecution if they're returned back to their home country, and they have to state a reason why. The Obama administration allowed citizens from Central America to say that they feared persecution if they returned back home, either because of crime violence within the country itself or because of domestic abuse. But those don't fall under the legal definition of asylum and refugees. Now, because of that credible fear standard being reduced, it allowed all of these folks to come in and claim asylum, but eventually they had their asylum claims denied when they got before a judge, since they didn't qualify technically for asylum. But because, again, they reduced the credible fear, they're still allowed to enter the United States and stay here until they get their day in court, and a lot of them don't even show up for their day in court. So what the Trump administration has tried to do is strengthen the credible fear standard, and again, we'll see if it works. If these caravan migrants happen to get to the border and try to claim asylum.
Now, Chris, I got some criticism yesterday when I suggested that, you know, 3,000 people can't just like gather together in Honduras on a Sunday morning and say, let's go to the United States. That I feel like there's got to be some organization. And the timing of this, I'm very suspect, because I can see, you know, we got the whole issue of family and children and the whole thing. And it just looks like it could be something that plays into the midterms. Am I overreacting?
No, you're not. And we've In fact, it's been reported. Reuters, who broke the story over the weekend, said that this caravan was organized mostly through social media, and that's how these things are done. So now we don't know what we don't know what happens behind the scenes, that the groups that are leading the caravan, what motivates them, based on timing and things like that. But yeah, a cynical person could look at this and say, this is going to be interesting. This caravan's going to arrive right around Election Day. And, you know, if you see the separation of families and all these issues could bubble back up to the surface again right before Americans go to the polls to vote. So it's interesting timing, how this thing is being played out. Again, I don't want to say that there are political motives in the United States that are pushing for this to happen now, but we have seen most of the time these caravans are organized. And again, Reuters, who broke the story over this weekend, reported that this too is an organized effort.
And of course, you know, the poor families are being used like political pawns here, and that's really a tragedy.
Yeah, not only are they being used as political pawns, but crossing in Mexico to the United States border isn't exactly the safest journey. So we're all pretty certain that it's the international drug cartels that control the U.S.-Mexico border on the Mexican side. So typically they have to go through those drug cartels in order to get to the U.S. border. That's a dangerous journey. It's not, you know, it's not something to be taken lightly. And not to mention that it is. It's you're going over tough terrain. Food, you don't always have access to food and water, so you need to make sure you have an ample supply. As you mentioned, these folks are totally being used for political purposes. But I understand too that their situation down in Honduras is desperate. But that's where the leaders down in Central America, down in Honduras, and this is something that Vice President Mike Pence mentioned last week at a Central American conference, they need to start taking more personal responsibility for making sure that their countries are, number one, safe, and that they stabilize their economies.
Now, yesterday we were talking about how it seems like there's a big push now to make health coverage, health insurance, the big, big issue. But then I'm reading the Washington Examiner today, and you guys have a poll out that talks about increasing support for cuts in immigration. Can you talk about this poll and specifically what you learned about Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so what we've done is we've really done a series of polls over the last, I don't know, about 8 to 9 months. We've done a mix of national polls, but also state level polls, and we really focused on some of these, you know, more of the purple states like Pennsylvania, for instance. And what we found is in the 25 individual states that we polled, that, and now we're dealing with the issue of legal immigration, that Americans and Pennsylvanians, for that matter, want to see legal immigration reduced from the current levels of about 1.1 million. So the most recent numbers, which were fiscal 2017 numbers, just came out about a week and a half ago, and we learned that about 1.17 million new green cards were issued to legal immigrants in fiscal year 2017. So we just went to likely midterm voters, including those in Pennsylvania, and asked them, and we found out that 50% of Pennsylvanians want to see immigration reduced by at least 25% to 750,000 or less. What we also found out is that 52% want it at least cut in half, 500,000 and less. And the reason why we wanted to ask this question was because over the summertime, the House of Representatives narrowly defeated legislation that would have reduced legal immigration by about 300,000. But again, it was narrowly defeated. It only got about 191 votes and needed 218 to pass in the House. So we wanted to take the temperature of again, midterm likely voters to get what their view of the issue is.
Now, Chris, I have one final question, and I think it's going to be a tough question. Now, you have been with us 3 or 4 times over the past 8 or 9 months. Chris, has anything in our immigration status changed? I almost feel like I'm setting you up because it doesn't seem like anything has.
Well, I will say that legislatively, no. But then again, nothing legislatively has really changed in our immigration system over the last 20 plus years, unfortunately. I mean, there have been some small things. Administratively, there are some things that the Trump administration has done to make things a little bit more better for in terms of public public safety, national security, and also improving jobs and wages, job opportunities and wages for Americans who typically compete with foreign workers and illegal aliens that enter the country to work illegally. So there have been steps that the administration has taken, but there's a lot more that they can take that they haven't taken yet. And they haven't exactly been as forceful in pushing legislation. For example, I referenced the House vote. One of the reasons why that House vote fell short was because the Trump White House didn't put the full weight of the White House behind that legislation. Had it, maybe it would have gotten the 218 that it needed to get through the House. So to answer your question, there have been some administrative changes made over the last 6 to 9 months, but over the last few years, no, there hasn't been any real major significant changes to our immigration system done by Congress.
Well, Chris Chmielewski, Numbers USA, thanks again for talking to us. Have a good afternoon, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. All right. Now,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.